Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for May 31st, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first half. As noted earlier, we're working our way through the book of Acts and then taking Paul's letters as he writes them. So during his third missionary journey, which we've just completed, and I guess you could say it's completed when he gets to Jerusalem, but then he's taken into Roman custody there in Jerusalem, and then transferred up to Caesarea, and then he's going to spend 2 years in prison in Caesarea. So during his first journey, during his third journey here, he writes 1 Corinthians, writing from Ephesus. He also writes 2 Corinthians, and there may be a 3 Corinthians that has been lost and God hasn't seen fit to preserve for us. And then when he finally gets around to the southern portion of Greece, from there he writes the book of Romans. And then he eventually gets back to Jerusalem, and then is eventually taken up as a prisoner to Caesarea, north of Jerusalem there, north of Israel, that is. And while he's imprisoned in Caesarea, he writes the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And that takes us really through, I don't know, Acts 24, 25 or so. And then his fourth missionary journey is his journey to Rome as a prisoner. And there's it gets kind of exciting and a little hairy because there's a shipwreck in there. And then after his fourth journey is when we have the pastoral letters of Timothy and First and Second Timothy and Titus and Philemon, I think, is in there as well. So here goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading through verse 17. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints, along with all in every place, who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you, because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You are enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because the testimony about Christ was established in you. As a result, you do not lack any gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers, I am making an appeal to you, using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you all express the same view, and not have any divisions among you, but that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For the news I heard about you, my brothers, from members of Chloe's household, is that there are rivalries among you. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that I baptized you into my own name. I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides them, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom used in speeches, so that the cross of Christ would not be emptied of its power. This is the word of our God. And so he's writing from Ephesus, you know, across the Aegean Sea, because he's gotten word of some of the divisions there at the church in Corinth, and he's there at Ephesus for 2 years. And so he can't get away right away to go and address it, but he writes 1 Corinthians especially, and then also 2 Corinthians to address some of these major issues that had really blown up while he was gone. You might say, or some have said, that the church at Corinth was kind of like Paul's problem child. But a lot of the problems that they had there are the exact same issues that plague congregations today. And that shouldn't be any surprise, because even though the time, the place, the culture, the context may be different, even though, you know, we might not be living in a bustling metropolis, a multicultural metropolis like Corinth, or, you know, Sin City like Corinth, at the same time, we are still sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and we still have that same sinful flesh, which loves to cooperate with Satan in tearing down the kingdom that God is trying to build. And so as our Lord Jesus tries to build his kingdom, you know, it's been said, and I think I've used it in a sermon once or twice, that where God builds a church, the devil sets up a temple right next door. And how true it is that even within our hearts, which was once the sole purview of Satan, as we were enslaved in sin and dead in sin and blind, even in that heart, God has chosen to set up his church and to come and dwell within your heart and mine as his holy temples. And so it's natural that the strife from within is going to manifest itself in strife on the outside as well. And so Paul addresses this, especially the division within the church. Verse 11. The news I have heard about you from members of Chloe's household is that there are rivalries among you. Rivalries, you know, asserting that I am in a superior position or have some way that I am superior to you and that you are inferior to me. And we talk both ways. We talk both on the positive, like I have this better than you, and on the negative, that you have that worse than me. Because look at the choices you've made, and they're obviously inferior to the choices that I've made, and therefore, obviously, I must, maybe I'm smarter, maybe I'm just better at what I do, maybe God loves me more and cares about me more. You could see how divisions would crop up. And, you know, our culture here in the United States of free speech and taking a stand on our own rights and standing up for ourselves, definitely opens the door and makes that even more of a temptation. Whereas Christian love, that Paul really brings his people back to, Christian love means loving Christ. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? Was Pastor Hagin crucified for you? No way. Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Absolutely not. Paul refocuses their gaze to say that the purpose of God's church here is Jesus is building his spiritual temple to bring him praise and glory, and that is his alone, and we dare not act and talk in such a way that would detract from the praise that our Savior deserves. And so that really, really gives us a focus for why we do what we do, the motive behind it, where Jesus addresses our deepest need, that of our sin. And he exposes it for what it is, you know, a heart that turns inwardly upon itself all the time. And then he comforts us. He says, "Dear Christian, did you ever think you were missing out? Did you ever think that God was in some way being unfaithful toward you or less than loving toward you or hasn't blessed you enough? Did you ever feel that way?" Well, the answer for each of us is yes. And he says, "Dear Christian, do you see that the Son of God is your brother, and that your brother carried your sin? He picked that knapsack of sin off your back and washed you in his blood, washed you in the waters of baptism, went through hell, was raised from the dead for you, so that you would have a new life, a life that is focused on him and eyes that focus on him and not on yourself. And you don't have to be struggling and striving to make sure that you get your fair share, because you've already been given more than your fair share in Jesus Christ." And then some would question, you know, verses 14 and following, Paul talks about baptism. And especially in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom used in speeches, so that the cross of Christ would not be emptied of its power. Christ did not send me to baptize." What he's really saying there is that his commission was to preach to the Gentiles and to start a church, not to go on and being the pastor there for a long and extended period of time, but to give it a start, to bring in and take people through Bible instruction course and establish a church and then move on. That was the specific command that Christ had given for Paul. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to follow that example today, because there is a lot of benefit, and it's still in keeping with the doctrine of the call, to call a pastor to serve there permanently until he should take a call somewhere else. And that's kind of how our system is set up, where the same pastor is somebody who evangelizes, who teaches Bible instruction class, who baptizes babies, who confirms children. But Paul, the big idea here is that Paul is not trying to set up a dividing line between baptism and ministry. All he's saying is that just for that particular period, that particular time of the Christian church, there weren't a whole lot of extra conversions, and Paul's work was focused on establishing the churches and then moving on, instead of sticking around and taking all of these adults through the Bible instruction course, because the Jewish converts to the faith would probably handle a lot of that. And then after these new converts from the Gentiles had been converted, like we do today, we baptize adults after they've been converted. And that's primarily Paul's first audience of this first century church. He's talking primarily to adults. And so he works with the Jews, and he evangelizes the Gentiles, and he gets the doors opened on the church. And then, as we see, especially on that third missionary journey, he establishes the church and then sets up their organization and their elders, and then he moves on so that they can carry out the work of instruction and eventual baptism after instruction. So what shall we learn from this? Well, we look inside to our own hearts and we confess the selfishness. And then we look outside as Paul focuses our attention. We look at our Savior Jesus and we say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And please be with me that I not distract from your glory, that I not detract from your glory, and that I live to bring you glory in all that I do, all that I say, so that many more may join us here and forever to your glory. You could find us Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You could also find us Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And the Wednesday service is going to use the same readings as the following Sunday. God bless your day.